Blog Talk Radio.
He gon' catch it. I ain't athletic, but it's tennis for the necklace. Yeah. Hey, where that cash at? I stack it like Tetris. Real gutter bitch, real plugs and connections. Real first, I make him eat it till he locked y'all. Give it to him good, knock a nigga socks off. I run it up, they busy running they mouth. I'm a real ass, rich ass bitch from the south. First off, I ain't fucking for no clout. I ain't fucking on no nigga sleeping on his partner couch.
What the fuck?
He wanna fuck, rather sit it on his mouth. I'm a freak ass, street ass bitch from the south. Is you gon' catch it? Eat it up for breakfast. I ain't athletic on the dick, I do gymnastics. I hit up sweetie like, what's up, I'm in the bay. The baddest bitch in MIA said I'm good when I'm in days. I throw that ass back to see if he gon' catch it. I ain't athletic, but it's tennis for the necklace, yeah. Ay, where that cash at? I stack it like Tetris. Real gutter bitch, real plugs and connections. First, I make him eat it till he locked y'all. Give it to him good, knock a nigga socks off. I run it up, they busy running they mouth. I'm a real ass, rich ass bitch from the south.
Grab my bag up on the east, brought it back to the west. Bitches fallin', run they mouth. To call a text, like Rapunzel with the bundles, got them flowing down my back. You know, sweetie, get love from the office to the track. Rich niggas on me, big figures on me. Got a snowflake around my neck, looking like a whole thing. Fuck around and catch a cold, busting hoes on speed. Johnny brighten up my smile, he my dentist low key. Why these hoes testing me? I ain't no fucking ACT. You need to do what you just took, and that's a fucking SAT. I put that on my ICPs, I need a new one ASAP. Yo, man, just bought you a rolling on my third breath down AP. Hey, I throw that ass back to see if he gon' catch it. I call Mulatto up when I'm tryna get ratchet. You love my lips, get it tatted on your neck. I'm a real ass, trill ass bitch from the west.
I throw that ass back to see if he gon' catch it. I ain't athletic, but it's tennis for the necklace, yeah. Hey, where that cash at? I stack it like Tetris. Real good, a bitch, real plugs and connections.
Real
first, I make him eat it till he locked y'all. Give it to him good, knock a nigga socks off. I run it up, they busy running they mouth. I'm a real ass, rich ass bitch from the
train of thought. He catch it like Odell. It's what in the pussy got no smell. Can't come to my residence, leaving no evidence. Meet me at the hotel. He say, you don't respect me, you just want to check. He know me so well. I don't fuck with no losers or no liars. I ain't taking no L. Nice waist on me. Yo, nigga wanna taste on me. Nigga, don't FaceTime my line. Just come put face on me. Got M's and Swiss offshore. That's why all my shit costs more. Got my sauce right and it's off white. Can't get it out the store. Now watch out.
I throw that ass back to see if he gon' catch it. I ain't athletic, but it's tennis for the necklace. Yeah. Hey, where that cash at? I stack it like Tetris. Real good, a bitch. Real plugs and connections.
Real.
First, I make him eat it till he locked y'all. Give it to him good, knock a nigga socks off. I run it up, they busy running they mouth. I'm a real ass, rich ass bitch from the south.
South.
Welcome y'all to Raven's Real Spill. This is your girl, Raven the Serial Poet, coming to y'all from the rantings of my beautiful Florida home. I hope y'all are ready to tune in to get to know me a little bit better. On this show, it's strictly introduction, so you have me for about an hour. The next time, it may be a little bit longer. So make sure you get you something to drink. Make sure you get you something to smoke on. And make sure that you are ready to be open-minded to getting to know who Raven the Serial Poet is. So with that being said, we're going to take a brief commercial break. And we're going to come right on back.
Ain't nothing to it. Real one. Ain't nothing to it. Bo. Ain't nothing to it. Real one. calls. You ain't talking about nothing, I ain't got no time. Got that Donetto on my mind. Oh, I got real problems just like you. Tell that trick, I don't like you. Ain't nothing to it. Real one.
All facts, no cap, false. You not a boss, you got a boss. Getting jerked, that's your curse. I take it personally. Rather work for the man than to work with me. Just so they can pretend they on my level. That's just irking to me. Pride always goeth before the fall, almost certainly. It's disturbing what I gross.
What I gross.
Survey says you not even close.
Not even close.
Everybody's bosses till it's time to pay for the office. To them invoices separate the men from the boys. Over here we measure success for how many people successful next to you. Here we say you broke if everybody is broke except for you. Bow.
Ain't nothing to it. Real one. But my mama with my great-great-grandchildren already rich. That's a lot of brown turn on your Forbes list. Frolicking around my compound on my fortress. I'll be riding around with my seat reclining. Dropping my daughter off at school every morning. We slamming car doors. I be trolling on these bum boys. You ain't talking about nothing, I ain't got no time. They gotta relax. Toes in the sand, mama getting fat.
Alligator in the swamp.
Here I go.
Get it cracking on this show real quick. This is your girl, Raven the Serial Poet. But everybody pretty much know me by my name, Michaela Taylor. And if you knew me, you know, from times prior, you probably heard me on another show where I went by the name Luscious Lips or whatnot. But this is my own little show that I'm going to be doing from time to time. Just to pretty much give y'all a feel for who I am as a person. So tonight, basically, I will be introducing this show. This show will be more of a light distraction from everything that's going on out in the world. I don't take myself seriously. I just turned 40, and I just have come to the realization that life is too short. Life is too short to take anything seriously, basically. So tonight you're going to get, you know, my little goofy, playful side. We have some good music for you. Just like I said, it's only going to be an hour. If I feel more up to it, I might go a little bit over that hour. But, you know, just, you know, give your girl a second. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get used to this again. It's been a minute. So I've introduced myself. Y'all know that I just turned 40, which basically would make me a what? Virgo. Yes, it is Virgo season. And I just want to say to all my Virgos out there, happy birthday. I hope y'all is turning up safely. Don't forget to wear your mask and wash your hands, basically. So, yes, besides that, I am a writer. Anybody that pretty much knows me knows that I have published time and time again poetry. I stepped out on the scene back in 2013 when I attempted to self-publish my very own poetry books. And if anybody has been following me on Facebook or anything like that, they would know that those particular books was also republished again back in, I want to say, 2015. Give or take a couple of months. Don't quote me on it. But this year, I want to say that this will be the final time that they will be being rebranded and republished and things like that. And trust me when I say this will be the final time that these books will be redone and revamped and rebranded and all this type of stuff. Because at the end of the day, I'm a boss. I have things to do. I don't have time to keep pretty much deja vuing my books. That is just not a move. That is not, you know, that's not that, and this is not that. So, yeah, so basically, I'm a poetry writer. I am also a podcaster. Now, I have a show besides this one that I'm starting. I started a show on Anchor called Raven Random Rants, where I go on there every now and again and I talk about heavy-hitting topics. Everything from Black Lives Matter to homophobia to, you know, why people feel the need to not say I'm sorry when it's, you know, time to say I'm sorry. I don't see why it is that people have a hard time apologizing, but they don't mind receiving an apology. I don't know if y'all ever came across anybody like that. Like, you could sit up there and you haven't done really anything wrong per se. And if you did do something wrong, you apologize. And they will accept your apology, but they won't apologize for their part in whatever it is that happened or whatever the case may be. So on there, we talk about that. Then we talk about relationship deathbed. If you're in a relationship and you've become complacent to where now you're pretty much just laying in the bed next to each other, y'all in a time loop to where you go to sleep and you wake up and y'all pretty much doing the same thing over and over and over again as far as passion. There's no desire. There's nothing going on in that relationship. Y'all just walking around pretty much zombies. You know, y'all like each other, but, you know, y'all love each other, but y'all don't like each other, if that makes any sense. So, yeah, we over there, we talk about everything. You know, and I put a little sprinkle of humor in it because at the end of the day, just like I said, life is too short. let's not take ourselves seriously, because we have enough people doing it already. Now, after this show, there's going to be another show coming up this following Tuesday where we will be discussing what is the difference between childish behavior and immature behavior. Because I think a lot of people have those two words misconstrued. They always like to call somebody childish or immature when the two are two totally different definitions. So on that show, we will be touching bases on that, because I think it's very important for people to understand that a person can be immature without being childish and vice versa. Now, me, you know, just to give y'all a brief taste of what I'm talking about, me, myself, I am very immature. Very. Own it. Have I been working on it? Yes. I'm 40 years old. I need to stop doing stuff that's very immaturely based. But in working on that and knowing that I am that way, I have been doing better with, you know, when you pretty much tackle situations, you'll know when your maturity has set in. Because anybody that sit up there and be like, oh, you know, you're into it with somebody, and you see somebody calling you, you see them texting you, and you look at your phone and you're like, I ain't answering that. That is very immature, because you see them calling you, you see them texting you, and you don't answer. That's very immature. Instead of being an adult, answering the phone and be like, look, I understand you want to talk. I understand, you know, you're trying to square this away or whatever the case may be, but I just don't feel like talking right now. That would be the adult thing to do. Yeah, I don't do that. Don't expect me to do it. It's not going to happen. But I'm working on it little by little, bit by bit, because I feel as though that's very important. You know, in communication, you can't sit up there and say that you're all about communication and all about solving problems and stuff like that, and you not even giving the other person the respect enough to keep the lines of communication open. So that I'm working on. Now, childish behavior, just to give a brief example of that, childish behavior is, I seen a lady in the store the other day, and she asked her husband to buy this purse for her. Now, mind you, the purse didn't cost that much. It was probably maybe $50 at the most. Way less than what most women would spend on a doggone purse. I don't get that. Why would you spend over $100? I won't even spend over $20 for a purse. I ain't gonna cap. But, yeah, the purse was $50. He kept trying to explain to her, if I spend $50 on this purse and you know you're going to get hungry later, you're going to have to pick which one do you want. Do you want this purse or do you want to eat later? And when I tell you, in the middle of this store, this lady yelled, talking about, I want this purse. Why won't you get this purse for me? I never asked. Why would you do that? And just by looks alone, and I'm going to make an ass out myself and say, just by looks alone, this lady looked like she could have been at least probably in her 30s. And you're in the middle of the store catching a tantrum over a $50 purse. Really? No. I don't get it. You know, unless it's going to feed you, clothe you, put a roof over your head, it's not that important, sweetie. And I just did not get it. And I'm not going to front. I do not condone any type of violence. But the way she was screaming in that store, if I was close enough, I just would have wanted to just pop her in the mouth. Just one quick little pop. You know that little pop that your grandmama or your big mama or your mama used to do when you be yelling for no freaking reason and causing a scene? That's what I wanted to do to her. But I had to also realize that I'm 40, and if she's in her 30s, she's grown and I'm grown, and we all have choices in this life that we take. And she decided to take the childish route and catch a tantrum in the middle of the store over a $50 purse. But, yeah, that's what we will be touching bases on next Tuesday or whatever the case may be. Now, to dig deeper into my life, I already touched bases on the fact that I am a writer. I'm a podcaster. I also have a clothing, I don't know if you would call it a clothing line or whatever the case may be, but I make graphic t-shirts. And my little business, I started back in May/June. And it's called Queen Petalicious Apparel. Now, this particular website has everything on it. And when I say everything, I mean everything. You do not want to go on this website if you are a prude, if you have a close perception of how you view the world. This website and the shirts that's on it is strictly for those who don't mind expressing themselves in the most flamboyant of ways. They have quotes on shirts that you may or may not wear in public. I'm just going to be honest. I have quotes on the shirts that's like that, and then I also have a section on the website that is very adult X-rated based. So please do not let your children go on that website by themselves talking about they want to find them a shirt and then they stumble upon something that is, adults only. And now you want to email me or inbox me some stuff. Don't do it, because you inbox me some stuff about your kids stumbling upon, you know, some latex sheets or some whips and chains and stuff. I'm going to tell you, I warned you ahead of time, multiple times, because this would not be my first time addressing this. But, yeah, if you want a t-shirt, a graphic t-shirt for your man, for you, for your kids, we have everything on their website. We also have makeup on their website. We have quite a bit of stuff on there. So if you're just looking to invest in some graphic tees, please feel free to go to www.queenpetaliciousapparel.com. That is QUEENPETTILICIOUS apparel. APPAREL. Yes, it's very long. So if you want to take the simple route, the easy route, yeah, you can follow me on Facebook and then, you know, you can link up to it that way. So, we talked about books. We talked about, you know, the topic for next week. We talked about my website. And so now we're going to dive a little bit deeper, okay? So, me as the person that I am, just turning 40, and everything like that, I'm here in Florida, which to me is a hot state for everything that is COVID-19 related. Now, I'm going to touch on this, and I'm going to touch on this very briefly, and I hope somebody from Florida could pretty much answer this question for me, because I am really confused. We was on lockdown. Y'all protested and ran it and raved it and just was like,
oh, you know, we tired of being on lockdown, to go to the beach. Yeah, I wanted to go to the club. Yeah, I got tired, I guess, being cooped up in the house with your kids, which I don't get that either. If you had a truckload of kids from yourself, why are you tired of being cooped up in the house with your kids? You made them. Just saying, just putting it out there. You know, you can't get tired of something that you created. Because honestly, yeah, these kids is running rampant, and you're the adult, you're the parent. I know what it is. The whole situation is you got firsthand view of what your teachers, which is not getting paid enough to deal with your kids, you got firsthand view of what your teachers have to deal with when it comes to your kids. Because, see, what y'all have is what they consider a temporary custody agreement. And this temporary custody agreement is on Monday mornings, you would get your kids up. If you feel the, you know, if you feel like it, you fix them something to eat, you send them to school. They're at school pretty much the same length of time that you're at your job if you work full time. Then they come home. Then they do their homework. Then they take their bath or whatever the case may be. 9 times out of 10, if they have friends, they go outside and they play for a little bit. So by the time you even see your kids again, it's pretty much nighttime, probably 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So, yeah, you haven't seen your kids all day. And so by the time you see them, it's at the dinner table. And from the dinner table, they go straight to sleep. You got used to that routine. You got complacent. You got spoiled. And now there is no longer that. Some of you have sent your kids to school knowing that the risk is high. But just to get them out of the house, y'all send your kids to school with this COVID. And then want to sit up there and cry and protest and, you know, get on people's time for not wearing masks. Where is your mask? And why are you standing so close to people when you're supposed to be standing 6 feet? And that's another thing. I want to talk about these stores with these 6 feet stickers on the floor. That is not 6 feet. I was in Winn-Dixie and they had the little cute little stickers on the floor that say 6 feet. I have a 6 feet long extension cord. And I stretched it out, and I'm like, there is no way, that them stickers that they put on the floor at the store is 6 feet apart. And yet when people get in their feelings and they get, you know, agitated, come all close up into your personal space, sweetie, I'm going to need for you to give me 6 feet, or I'm going to put you 6 feet. But see, you can't say stuff like that, because then it's considered a threat, then it's assault, and then, you know, it's just this whole little crazy thing where you have to be careful what you say. I am not being careful with nothing. Because one thing about it is, we are in a society to where 45 has made it very normal for these people to walk around and talk any way they want to talk and attempt to do anything that they want to do. If they're in a group and you by yourself, they may be successful with it, depending on, you know, your level of skill of defending yourself. But, yeah, I've seen so much this year that has further let me know a lot of these Trump supporters that's rolling around are pretty much vigilantes, terrorists, and they have gotten very bold and cocky and thinking that some of us are our ancestors, and quite a few have learned that we are not. We are not our ancestors, and, you know, we will not be silenced And also, y'all don't have Secret Service protecting y'all. And neither do we. So it's nothing but time, space, and opportunity. So don't get it twisted. Don't think for a moment or a second that we are going to sit idly by. Now, some of us will. Some of us, oh, I pray for y'all, because some of y'all are still asleep. Because I heard somebody on TikTok, I think he was a black guy, and it was dealing with the shooting that just happened recently with Jacobs. He was pretty much trying to justify. There is no justification for shooting nobody in the back, except for the fact that you was hoping that if you shot him in the back that he wouldn't live long enough to press charges against you or sue you or whatever the case may be. And it's sad that we have some of us still asleep. The evidence could be right there, and they say, well, they should have complied. They should have complied. And I'm just sitting back, and I'm thinking about all the hashtags. We have thousands, not hundreds, under 100. We have over 1,000 hashtags of people that have lost their life at the hands of the others. And yes, I call them the others, because they are no longer part of the human race. When you do things like that, you are no longer a part of the human race. You're an animal. You're other. You're a terrorist. You're a vigilante. And I cannot sit here and be like, oh, well, maybe one day they'll wake up and they'll stop doing what they're doing. No. I could honestly say that I don't think they will ever stop doing what they're doing. It's going to take us getting 45 out of office. Oh, by the way, make sure y'all go vote. I don't care if you have to mail in your vote, hop the vote, roll in the vote, whatever the case may be. Make sure you go vote, because this, if anything, hasn't shown me, like these past 4 years have shown me a lot. And I ain't even talk about it in the politics side of things, but about America in general, these past 4 years have shown me a lot. And I weep for this country. Because people that is supposed to be, you know, fighting alongside of you is fighting against you, and vice versa. You know, I sit back and I look at all the beautiful melanin, you know, all around me, and I'm like, wow, do you know how beautiful and how powerful it would be if all of us, even the ones that's kind of asleep, we need to wake their ass up. If all of us would just rally together and put our heads in the game of life and not just be buried in the ground like an ostrich, we will accomplish so much. But everybody is stuck in their own little bubble. Everybody has this mentality of, oh, well, it has nothing to do with me, so I'm just going to sit over here in my business. Yeah, that's all well and good. And then you're over there minding your business until when you need help. You're going to need help, and then you're going to be looking at other melanin brothers and sisters and be like, can you help me? And they're going to be like, well, I asked you for help, and you buried your head in the sand. It's sad. It's very sad. But I can say one thing did come out of, you know, this year, and I'm going to touch bases on it really briefly. I know I'm going on and on and on about it. But the protesting, besides the fact of, you know, undercover cops, you know, starting riots and things like that, but the protesting was beautiful. All colors, all nationalities. You know, we had the Amish come out. We had witches coming out. We had just a whole collective of people coming to support Black Lives Matter. We came up with a new name for these nagging, nosy, complaining people, Karens. And I'm going to say this, Karens could come in all colors because I've seen it. I know it originally started for white women, but I saw a black Karen, and yeah, some of our black women could be Karens too, because some of y'all be complaining and doing false things and pretty much, you know, what you doing? Like, why are you doing that? But maybe, you know, it's going to take, and I hate to say it like this, they always say, you know, it takes a tragedy before people wake up and realize some stuff. And I don't know how many tragedies that we need this year. We've already lost too many people to police violence, to COVID, to senseless violence, you know, accidents, natural causes, and everything in between. How many more people do we have to lose before we realize that, yeah, we need not to be doing these things and beefing unnecessarily? Because among all this stuff, they still have videos floating around where we're fighting each other. We're killing each other. Why? I want somebody to justify to me, why are we still killing each other? I'll wait. I would definitely wait on the answer for that. Or why are we still fighting each other? What for? So against fighting against the real enemy, or killing the real enemy, which I don't condone that either. But y'all would rather kill each other. Why? Fight each other for what? I don't understand it. Make it make sense to me. I pray for everybody daily. Even people that I no longer talk to, that I was close with, I pray for daily. Because I've come to the realization that everybody has choices. It was choices that led people to where they are right now, whether good or bad. And I got to say, I'm in the most beautiful place in my life. Like, I've never felt more free, more positive. Just my whole vibe and nature is on 10. Last year, I went through a period of time to where I was depressed. I really didn't know whether or not I wanted to even continue on this earth because so much stuff was overwhelming. And I know a lot of people are like, well, why would you say that, you know, on the air? One, because it's my show, and two, because I know it's a lot of people that feel the same way. And I want them to know that they're not alone. But yeah, I felt very overwhelmed, very depressed, very hopeless, helpless, and everything in between. And I realized the people around me was not helping. So I had to make some cuts. And some of the cuts that I made was more hurtful than others. Because it's people that I genuinely, but I cut them out. Family, friends, nobody was exempt. If I felt as though you did me wrong, or we'd have came to a pass, I had to let you go. And so, therefore, I did. Do I regret my decision? Hell no. Because now I'm in a mindset to where my poetry that I'm writing now is flowing so much easier. It doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel like I'm trying too hard. Like I'm getting back to loving my craft, my skill, my gifts, my purpose. Everybody should love what they do. Everybody. It shouldn't feel like a job. The moment that your gift and your purpose feels like a job is the moment that you need to pause. Pause button. And just take the time to meditate, relax, revamp some things, and just go back into the corners of your mind and try to figure out where did you get lost? What fork in the road in your mind did you take that led you to a place to where now nothing you do is no longer fun? Like what happened? Once you realize that, then maybe you can find your way back to doing what you love. Because I definitely did. And I wrote, you know, a poem about it. A journey back to me. But I think what I'm going to do is I am going to end this show with this. It's rather lengthy, so I hope y'all like poetry. Well, I don't know if you could call it a poem. It's more, I guess, like a long thought. So, whatever you're smoking, I was about to say something. Take whatever you're smoking and whatever you're drinking and just close your eyes and zone out with me for a minute. I wrote this last year, and it's called In Loving Memory of Me. It's not too often that someone nor would live long enough to write their own eulogy, but here I am writing it. The one and only Michaela Taylor giving my account over my life. So here goes. I was born August 26, 1980. I was born a female, but even back then, never been a lady. A summer baby, but never liked the heat. I always smiled and always liked to eat. I was a very inquisitive child, never doing just enough, but always going the extra mile. I was always bullied for just being me, for being smart, dark, and very extra chunky. But it never killed my smile. I was always a very kind and loving person, would give you my last if you needed it. If I saw you was hungry, I had no problem feeding you. Overcame all types of adversity, things that would have killed someone, I survived it easily, even after becoming a teen mom. I never stopped pursuing my dreams. In the back of my mind, I always knew what I would grow up to be, an author, an expressor of my feelings, a conduit that transported the past. That transported the past and the present moment into future narratives to always be read in the best and worst of contexts. Getting married at the age of 26 was the best and worst of moments. Best because within that marriage, I learned I was controlling. Worst because within that marriage, I learned I was weak and dependent. Dependent on someone who used those moments to control me. So I accepted my fate and got complacent in my own destiny. As time went on, I never stopped writing. I had to document what was really going on within the walls of my mind. As I embarked upon a new journey, I never knew the heartbreak it would bring me. But like they always said, you break someone's heart, prepare to get yours broken the same way. As I embraced what was coming to me, I made sure to enjoy the ride, even though it was extremely bumpy. I held on tight, never giving up without a fight. I wanted my cake and I wanted to eat it too. A glutton for lustful thoughts and feelings soon consuming me, bringing pain from the inside out, but yet and still I didn't stop. Until 2011, I embarked upon the greatest pain I ever knew, taking 3 years and some months to get over. But just like everything else in my life, I smiled through the tears. You see, I became a pro at pushing my feelings to the side for others. I did it for my mom. I did it for my daughter. I did it for my husband, so why wouldn't I do it for her? Someone who came in and turned my life upside down like the Tasmanian devil. Me being confused for the first time ever on what to do next with my life. At one point, it was so basic and simple and leveled out. Now it's complicated and full of too much bullshit. But I knew I would be okay. I knew I would overcome, and I did. Once drowning and now swimming, making it to the island of healing. Now 2014 comes along and I meet this beautiful, intelligent entity that made me feel things like I couldn't believe. I never thought I could be happy again. I never thought someone would make me smile again. But she did and has. Always knowing just what to do and say. Always finding multiple ways to brighten up my day. Losing touch, but regaining it quickly. Giving up on her over the years because it was easier than facing the fact that she was my soulmate. Fighting for her. Fighting for us. Now it's 2019, and she's finally here. We both are struggling to conquer our fear. It hasn't been easy. We have people around us who are counting us out. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's the adrenaline that courses through our veins that is pushing us forward. Maybe it's the love that has been preserved and is put on ice that is leading us to a higher level. Whatever it is, I love this feeling, and I never wanted to end, but if it was to end, so would love as I knew it to be. I would close myself out from the world, turning myself into myself. Don't get me wrong, yes, I love myself. Yes, I am more than capable of being alone. Yes, things will get worse before it gets better. Just Louisiana and Florida weather. All I know is when I come to this life and this life come to a close and you place the flowers upon my grave, I don't want you weeping for me. Don't even shed a tear for me. I want you to remember me as I am, was, and soon shall be. I hope y'all like that piece. I'm going to take the time and get out of here. But before I do, let me give you my thoughts for the night. And that is, you can only accept the things that people do to you because of the things that you do to yourself. If you don't love yourself accordingly, why should anybody else? So take the time to respect yourself, love yourself. End of the day, if you don't know yourself, get to know yourself. Date yourself. It's okay. It's fun. So next week, just like I said, we will be discussing childish versus immaturity. And that will be next Tuesday, same time, same place, 11 p.m. Eastern. And I look forward to entertaining y'all again. I really enjoyed this. So This is your girl, Raven the Serial Poet, signing out. Love, live, and laugh. Good night, y'all.
Mama, everybody called her the white girl, but you all knew I had a little something, something on me, cause my outer was slightly tan. Southern folk called me a yellow gal. I've been out here in this world for a while now, bringing madness and mayhem to man, woman, and child. You see, my mother, the white girl, had several lovers, so my father's true identity has yet to be discovered. Some call it A1 soda, others B12. Dr. Tishner has been implicated, but all of their seeds are incriminating evidence as far as my conception goes. My mother, she was indeed good, but I am most powerful. Just ask anybody in your hood. You can even ask those in corporate America about this monstrous. Most times, I, as little as a pea, though my weight fluctuates, size ain't shit, cause I have enough game to make you steal from your mama and call her out her name. Make her neglect her children, sell her body, perform dirty tricks on her knees, and be called a neighborhood hottie. Everybody's a thief and a liar once they make my acquaintance. They be anxious to buy my love, they lust for me, want to hold me and test my purity. But it's only for a moment. You see, the ecstasy that I give you, it's only temporary but quite costly. I'm bossy from your very first encounter with me. I tell you, you need me, got to have me, can't live without me. The peace. My game extends, it gets deeper. You see, my skills don't just pimp the weak-minded. The so-called big ballin' brothers are obsessed with me. They kill, rob, plot, and rat on one another to possess me. They see me as a goddess, the financial pad that will lead them out the ghetto. But don't they know, have a clue, that my mother and I were sent here to destroy them, to entice, baffle, and trap them. Conscious people call the conspiracy genocide. But what do you think? I mean, you make money off me while they pile evidence on you. They get you to spend all the money you're stacking on lawyers and bail bondsmen. They seize your property and all your worldly items that have you so caught up in this lifestyle. Material things that turn friend to foe, woman to hoe, and man to monster. Yeah, nigga, you've changed. But so what? Cause I give you what you need. I give you power, make you feel invincible, right, Poppy? I make you feel like a big man, a timer, no matter how ugly, fat, illiterate you are, I make the prettiest women love you, fight over you, and compete with others trying to give you plenty babies. I make your relatives mwah, kiss your ass, treat you like a king and roll out the red carpet. All the while, they've got one hand out for money and the other has a pen in it so you can sign your life policy. My existence makes you have that edge over the next man, cause it's all about me and the money, the root of all evil, the necessity to function in this society. I make all your gangster dope man stories interesting. You the man. I mean, we listen in awe while you speak of your murder tales, menage a trois, homosexual advances, and secret romances. I'm about it, and I make you feel bloody about it. I split families, split friends, split lovers, and even business partners. So you nickname me Crack. Ain't that something? I'm the reason why a lot of people are homeless, crazy, crippled, why they're HIV positive and dead. But you still want me, feel the need for me to be in your possession, be it to get high off my intoxicating little pieces or to spread my love for profit. You're even willing to kill and die for me. And even though my mother, the white girl, engaged in several orgies for my creation, I still know my father. You know him too. You follow his leads and work with him. You claim you hate him, but your actions differ from your tongue. Let's face it, you serve him faster than you do your God. We own you, nigga. And as far as the ones who sent my mother and I here to destroy you, we own them too. So after all my destruction,